Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is your Tech Guy podcast. This episode of the Tech Guy podcast was broadcast on the premier radio networks, including 177 of the best stations in the U.S. and XM Channel 166 on Saturday, March 10th, 2012. This is episode 855. Enjoy. Well, hello. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk about iPads. and other stuff. But mostly iPads. Computers, yes. Windows 8, Windows 7, Windows 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. The internet in all its glory. Cell phones. Always time to talk about cell phones. Mobile computing in general. 8888-ASK-LEO is my number. You know, you don't have to remember that, though. But I'll say it one more time slowly. 8888, like the keys of a piano. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's easy to remember. But you can also go to the website, techguylabs.com, and we've got that there. We've got a link to the chat room. James DeRuvo will be writing down my words. The pearls of wisdom as they spill from my lips will be captured, collated, and stored on that page for you to recreate at any time. So you don't have to remember anything or write anything down. techguylabs.com. So Apple did it. They announced the iPad. You notice I didn't say the iPad 3. That's not what it's called. It's not called the iPad HD, as I thought it might be. Just the iPad, which is somewhat confusing. especially since they're going to sell the old iPad, the iPad 2, for $100 less. They're going to continue to sell it, which is a great deal for people who want an iPad, but feel like $500 starting point is a little too expensive. $399, the starting point, for a 16-gigabyte Wi-Fi-only iPad 2. You know, still not anywhere near the $200 you can get a Kindle Fire for, but, I think a good deal. But let's talk about the new iPad. That's what they called it in the announcement. Tim Cook, the new CEO, Steve Jobs' replacement, taking the stage on Wednesday to announce the new iPad. What is new? Well, it's pretty much as we expected. It is the big story is the Retina display, the very high resolution display, twice the resolution of the old iPad, both horizontally and vertically. So that means it's four times the dots, 3.1 megapixels. That is for a 9.7-inch screen, which is the size of the screen on the iPad. That is remarkable. There are a few devices of that size that I can't think of any off the top of my head that give you that kind of resolution. We're starting to see competitors in the cell phone space for the resolution of the iPhone. But in fact, a lot of the Samsung displays, a lot of the new displays are now perhaps a little higher resolution than the iPhone. But I don't know of any tablet that gives you 2048 across by 1536 top to bottom. That is just amazing. Now, I didn't hold one. I didn't get invited to the event, so I wasn't able to actually touch one. But I've talked to people who did, because as is often the case after these events, they have a little demo room where you can go. And text on this thing just looks crisp as can be. Images look beautiful. This is going to be, I think, when people see it, a very, very desirable display and the main reason to upgrade. They did upgrade the camera, as I had hoped. Not all the way to iPhone 4S specs, but very close. It's a 5-megapixel camera with the optic system on the 4S. So that means, I think, it'll be a great camera. Now, you may say, well, who's going to hold up an iPad, that big old iPad, and take pictures? I think we might be seeing that a lot more, maybe even getting used to it by this time next year. And it will be an amazing filmmaking device. Now, you've got to bear with me on this one, because I admit it really does look silly to hold what was effectively like holding a clipboard in front of your face to shoot movies. Maybe a little smaller, but that's kind of the idea. But here's the thing, and here's the reason why it's kind of a compelling device. as you're shooting this movie, it's the only device I know of that lets you see it as it's going to look. Full resolution. You know, George Lucas won a Technical Achievement Academy Award for creating what he called the video droid. It was, this is maybe 20 years ago, but it was a video tap attached to a movie camera, a film camera, that let him see in full resolution what was being shot on film. Actually, it was Jerry Lewis who has the patent for this, believe it or not. He was the first to do a video tap way back in the 50s. Directors of movies have always wanted this ability not to look through a little viewfinder, an optical viewfinder, and see what the lens is picking up. Or, if you've got a camcorder on that small 2.5 or 3-inch LCD, you can't really tell. You can't even tell if things are in focus exactly. But to be able to see in all its glory with every dot what you're taking a picture or a video of, is for directors the Holy Grail. They won Academy Awards for this ability to inventing this. And now you're going to have anybody who makes a film will be able to, in effect, think of it this way. Don't think of it as a camera. Think of it as a display that you're looking at what you're going to see on video as you move it around. They upgraded iMovie, the video editing program on the iPad, to be really more of a tool for people who want to make movies. They have the ability to, for instance, and pros have always done this, create a shot list, a list of shots that you want to get. Let's see, we're going to film the kids' soccer game, so make a shot list. Well, you're going to want to get a close-up of the coaches for each side. Let's make sure we get a picture, a shot of the parents cheering. Close-up of the team getting ready. We want to see a goal. So make a list of the things that you'll want to see in this movie. And as you take your videos, you'll shoot, I got that one, got that one, got that one. Then when you get home, the movie can practically assemble itself. And all of this, and this is the key, all of this happening without going to a computer. And that is, to me, why this new iPad is actually significant. People are going to love the features, the high-res screen, the better camera. It does, if you're a Verizon or an AT&T customer, it will allow you to use their 4G LTE networks, which is very good news. That's very high speed if you live in an area where LTE is available. AT&T doesn't have very many LTE areas, about 25 cities. Verizon really was aggressive about it. They have about 150-plus cities now with LTE. And that's as fast, I mean, that's really fast. We're talking as fast as 80 megabits a second, much faster than your home connection, if congestion allows. But this device. Now imagine in your mind, this device is all you need to create videos. It's got a new upgraded iPhoto that lets you not only take pictures with this thing, and good-looking pictures, but then modify them, adjust them, upload them to Facebook, send them to friends, tweet everything, of course, Twitter integration everywhere. I think this is really the way when we first saw the iPad 2 years ago, I was a little disappointed. I said, well, Apple's really created a content consumption device. Great content consumption device. Great for looking at pictures, watching movies, playing games. Great for that. But really, just that. Not enough. And yeah, Apple released a word processor, pages, and a spreadsheet keynote, and numbers and a spreadsheet keynote, a presentation manager keynote, and they gave you tools to create, but it was still difficult, awkward. The keyboard wasn't great. This third iPad is finally living up to that promise, I think, of a content creation machine. Pictures, video. Apple's built voice dictation into the keyboard. Now, this is important because, of course, one of the least satisfying things about an iPad is typing on that glass screen. There's no action. There's no give. There's no playback. A lot of people actually get Bluetooth keyboards and then use the Bluetooth keyboard with their iPad. But then you might as well get a laptop if you're going to do that, right? But I think, and I believe this is why Apple put voice dictation in. They kind of want people to get used to the idea of instead of typing on that keyboard, pressing the microphone on that keyboard and speaking to it. We've already kind of got that with the iPhone 4S and Siri. Not, by the way, Siri was not included in the iPad, the new iPad. But this dictation feature of Siri was. If they've got good, quality, reliable dictation, I think suddenly, and this is what Apple wants, this is the only computer you need. That's what Apple would like you to do. What do you think? Let's talk about it. 8888-ASK Leo. Goodness. It's a post-PC world. That's what Apple would like you to think. They said that word a number of times. Post-PC. What does that mean? Well, it means it's a tablet world, I guess. Certainly, Microsoft believes that. That's why they're pushing Windows 8 on tablets so heavy. Very, very interesting. I find it all so intriguing. Will you buy a new iPad? Are you going to run to the store? Are you going to get rid of your old iPad? Will you buy the less expensive iPad 2? 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Let's talk, Matt. Speedway, Indiana, our first call of the day. Hi, Matt. Hold on. Make sure I'm pressing the right button here. Press the button, Leo. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Leo.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Hey, I was just, me and my fiance are looking to try and get it back into some, you know, physical shape here, and was just looking what you might recommend as far as, you know, apps that might help us track our activity, and maybe, you know, we were real excited about that Jawbone Up, that,
yeah,
that, you know, track fitness band that apparently is no longer available.
Yeah, Nike, it's funny, Nike has now one that's very similar to the Up called the Fuel Band. But go ahead and try to get it. They sold it out in the first few minutes. Everybody wanted a Fuel Band. So it's funny, Jawbone really created a business nobody had ever seen before. The idea is these are kind of, they look a little bit like the Lance Armstrong yellow rubber bracelets. It's a rubberized bracelet, but there's stuff inside. It's a fancy pedometer. I like the Jawbone Up because it did a little more than the Nike Fuel Band. It was able to track movements while you sleep, so it could kind of keep track of how well you slept. It was iPhone only, so you had it, and it was kind of weird the way it worked. You connected it via the iPhone's audio jack and synced it, but you couldn't charge it that way, so you had to charge it in a different way. The Nike Fuel Band, they've done some better. I think it's a little bigger and thicker, but it has a USB port on it. So you charge it and sync it via the USB port to a computer, not to a phone. But it is basically, it's a pedometer. I mean, it tells you how many steps you've taken. It's nothing fancier than that.
Would you recommend something like that? I mean, I know the Fitbit is still around. Is that?
I would say the Fitbit. Yeah, Fitbit might be a little bit more sophisticated. As long as you don't lose it, I've lost literally 4 Fitbits because they hook on your belt. The first one I washed in the laundry. I lost one in Paris. If anybody finds a Fitbit in Paris, I lost one at the San Diego Zoo. I know where I lost them, you know, because they just fall off my belt. And the fourth one, I don't know where it is. However, I think it is probably a better choice. Look, a pedometer is a great idea, I think, because if you're trying to get in shape, the idea of keeping track of your activity is fantastic. The Fitbit is less annoying than a thick bracelet. It also connects wirelessly. So you have a little base station that you connect to your computer, and whenever you're near it, the Fitbit automatically uploads all that stuff. You only have to connect it up to charge it once a week or so. So there's a lot to be said for the Fitbit. If you won't lose it, it's my favorite. It also does the sleep thing, and unlike either the Nike Fuel Band or the Jawbone Up, it tracks altitude, steps up. So if you're going upstairs, it knows how many steps up you did. So I think the Fitbit is pretty exciting.
Okay, and what about any apps that you might use to?
Are you iPhone or Android?
Yeah, we're iPhone.
Okay, so there's a really good app, free app, that a lot of people recommend called Lose It, that it keeps track of activity and diet. There's two things I think that make a big difference in fitness. Actually, but they're in some ways they're the same thing. Keeping track of what you're doing is what you should do. It's certainly keeping track of how much exercise you've gotten just by walking around is great. Lose It tracks your diet as well, and I think you don't even have to go on a diet. If you just track what you eat I notice people, that's sufficient. Just the awareness. At least it is for me, because really where I get in trouble with is unconscious eating. So Lose It is free and really great. There's also a website and a series of apps called Daily Burn, dailyburn.com, that I really like. And they have some interesting apps. For instance, they have an iPhone app that will scan barcodes. Now, I don't eat only packaged food, so it's less useful to me. But it certainly, if you eat a lot of packaged food, it's a great way to get the nutritional information into your tracker. The Daily Burn software is very good. Now, that requires a Daily Burn account. And generally speaking, I think the apps are free, but I think you want a paid account at Daily Burn. I'm not sure. They probably have, I would guess they have free accounts. But in general, I think with Daily Burn, you want the paid account.
Do you think that Jawbone app will ever resurface, or is it?
Isn't that weird that they've just killed it?
I mean, I've looked on their website numerous times, and it still says unavailable.
Yeah. They shut the whole product down. It's a very interesting question. So here's what happened. Jawbone, which makes probably people are familiar with it. Their Bluetooth headsets are fantastic. They also make a Jawbone Jambox, which is an expensive but cool Bluetooth speaker system. And they decided to make this Jawbone up, and they really created the category. When I saw it, I have mine still, by the way, and mine works. But a great number of them stopped working for reasons that are unknown. They just stopped working. And so Jawbone closed, basically shut down production. They gave everybody their money back. Literally, you don't even have to send the up back. They just gave you your $99 back. And they said there's a problem with the capacitors in these things. And they just stopped. And they haven't made any noise about resuming. I think the Fitbit's good. You just have to, it'd be my favorite if I didn't keep losing them.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Leo. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good luck on your fitness. It's nice to use your smart device as a helper on this. I like Daily Burn because it will, you join teams, people will bug you. That was the idea of the up as well. It had a whole social component that's missing from, the Fitbit and the Nike Fuel, I guess, that I really liked, where people could join your team and could egg you on, you could egg them on. So I think the two things, seems to be fitness experts agree, the two things that make a big difference in if you've decided to get in shape is tracking your activity and your food, and then getting support. And so all of these smartphone apps are all designed around getting some support, getting some help. I think it's certainly worth a try, Ollie. What were you going to say, Liz? Because, Liz, you're an up user, right? You like the up. Yeah. What happened to your up?
It died.
And I know so many people whose ups died. So they gave her a credit and she bought a jam box or something. You got more back than you spent? Isn't that nice of them? They gave you... I really admire how Jawbone handled that. Because they had essentially a defective product. And they just not only gave everybody their money back, they gave them more than their money back in credit. That's pretty cool. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. What's your favorite fitness app? Share it with me, will you? Leo Laporte. More to come in just a bit. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy, joins us every week to talk home theater. It's great to talk to you once again, Scott. You said you want to buy you're looking to buy a Kindle, huh?
Well, I was thinking about it. I read a number of books, and you know, they gather dust and they collect, and it's more paper. And I want to try and get away from that. I've gotten rid of all my print magazines, other than my own, of course.
You better not get rid of that.
No, I haven't gotten rid of that one. But everything else.
I always felt guilty about getting the New Yorker as a subscription. They would just pile up. Same thing with the New York Times. Just pile up.
Yeah, or National Geographic.
Yeah, pile up. So now. You got the digital version. I have all the New Yorkers on the iPad, and it's fantastic. And it is very close to the actual reading experience. The Kindle is not great for periodicals. If that's what you want, the e-ink Kindle, I don't recommend it. It's too slow to have that kind of nice browsing feel to it. So a Fire would be better. That's the $200 Amazon Kindle.
Right, color.
It's backlit, but it's still a small screen.
Mm-hmm.
Let me reach reach over and get one here so I can show you on the radio. It's a 7-inch. It's a 7-inch screen, which is nice because it's more pocketable. Certainly, so it's more.
Yeah.
But I do think that the iPad, especially the new iPad, is going to
be
one
to get,
the product of choice. It starts at $500, so it's more than twice as much.
Right. How much memory on that?
That's a 16 gig, which is plenty. You only need more memory if you're going to store a ton of movies or shoot movies or that kind of thing on it. I bought the 64 gig because I want to try it as a video creation device.
Well, I think your point about it being a creative device rather than a consumption device is very good.
This is a big jump for the iPad, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So well
that's great. And the iPad is good for reading books too. I mean, that's mainly what I read is sci-fi novels.
I read a lot of books. Remember that some people don't like reading on backlit screens. The difference between the Kindle e-ink is the e-ink is like a real book. You shine light on it.
Right.
It's kind of not. It's not black and white. It's black and green gray. So it's not. It's not as high contrast as one would hope. It's not black ink on white paper. Right. But if you shine light on it, it's very steady. There's no flicker because of the technology used to create an e-ink screen. It just sits there. So it's much more like reading on paper. And so I do like e-ink. And if that's what you want, I'd get the $70 Kindle, and that's a great price.
Sure.
And just live with that. It's
just to read books.
It's compact and so forth, and it's best for that. But now I haven't tried this new screen. But having a screen with that kind of resolution, it's a 236 pixels per inch.
Yeah.
That's going to be very crisp. I did see some text displayed on it, and it's very, very crisp. It will be backlit. Some people say that bothers their eyes over time. So, that might. But you certainly won't feel like you're reading something that is on a computer screen. It should feel more like white, and it will be, by the way, white on white paper, black ink on white paper. Or they give you sepia. The Kindle app is fantastic on the iPad.
Yeah, okay.
It's a question of money. I understand budget's always an issue.
Yeah, it's a lot more expensive.
It is.
The other thing, though, that I want to do is I don't have a lot of experience with what's called the second screen thing that you're doing now. You're watching TV and you have an iPad or a laptop or something in your lap to get more information, to tweet, to Facebook, to
for that you want
IM
an iPad.
With your friends.
Yeah,
you really
I don't think
iPad.
The Fire is really going to give you enough capability to do that.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
Netflix at 1080p. On a new iPad.
Oh, man.
It's going to be very exciting. Netflix looks actually pretty good on the Kindle Fire, but on the new iPad, that's going to be pretty spectacular.
Well, I've kind of resisted doing mobile streaming of movies and TV shows because it's, I'm used to this big 50, 60, 70, 90-inch screen, and doing something on a little tablet in front of you, even if it's so close that it subtends the right angle, field of view angle, I don't know. It just hasn't really compelled me, but
this is an interesting question because in terms of pixels per inch, there is no HD screen close to the iPad, the new iPad. Mm.
Of any tablet out there, yes.
Of any screen, including your big screen TV.
Oh.
And
this
is a big deal. So in terms of pixels per inch, the new iPad is two. Well, let me give you the actual numbers, and you'll get some idea of what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
There's a great pixels per inch calculator program at ping.de, and I'm going to use.
But isn't
that.
Pixels per inch not as important as what the resolution is at the distance you're sitting?
Well, exactly. So remember, we've talked about this before. If you're what we're talking about is what do you call that angle? That angle,
the viewing angle.
That's how how wide that screen is, and of course, the farther you get from your big screen, the more that angle narrows. It can in a theater, what is considered optimal viewing angle? 90 degrees, 180?
No, more like 30 or 40.
30 or 40. Okay. So the question is, how close does an iPad have to be to consume 30 or 40 degrees of your viewing? Probably. Of maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet, 3 feet away, which would be a kind of a natural viewing distance for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
At that resolution, it's going to look better than your big screen TV. So it will
have more resolution. It'll be sharper.
It'll be sharper.
Wow.
So this is an interesting question. And again, I just can only speculate until I actually hold one in my hand.
Yeah.
But I realized this, a few months ago. I was sitting in bed, lying in bed, and watching my big screen TV, and I realized this is far enough away that actually my iPad if I hold it at a normal, you know, arm's length, is a consumes more of my vision.
Field of view. Yeah.
It actually looks like a bigger screen.
Right. Exactly.
So if you can get the pixels per inch high enough so that you, it's a retina display at that distance, in other words, that you don't see the dots, that's why we call it a retina display. You don't see the dots. If you can get it to that resolution at the distance you'll be viewing it at, then you've got something.
No, it's absolutely true. And this is why we always talk about the distance to the screen and the relationship between the distance that you're sitting from the screen or holding the screen in this case and the resolution of the screen, the size of the screen, because you don't want to be able to see those dots. If you get close enough to
precisely
any screen, even a 4K screen, you put your nose up to that 4K screen, you'll see the pixels.
Right. And it's why resolution becomes less important as something gets more distant. You can't see the screen door effect. You can't see
right.
the pixelation.
Right. Past a certain distance, when the individual pixels become invisible or indistinguishable, I should say,
right.
Then it doesn't matter, and you start losing detail.
Right.
You know, so, if you looked at a TV a mile away, you wouldn't see any detail at all.
So a HD TV at 1080p... Mm-hmm. Has, if it were, that's not a good test.
See, because it depends on the size.
But let's say, you know, it were 1920 by 1080 on the same size screen. That's less on than the iPad, right?
What is the resolution, the pixel resolution?
2048 by 1536.
Wow.
I'm selling you this thing.
You are selling me this thing. You are.
So I think for somebody, in fact, well, I think Home Theater Magazine should buy it for you because you need to review it as the new big screen TV.
Yes, there you go. Perfect.
My point being that a big screen TV that's even 8 to 10 feet away, as it might be in your living room, is not going to occupy the same field of view as an iPad at, you know, a couple of a foot and a half away.
A couple foot away, yeah.
And the iPad's going to look better.
I wonder what it's going to do with the extra resolution, because HD and Blu-ray and so on are all 1920 by 1080. Is it going to scale that up, or are you going to see black bars?
I think you'll see black bars. I think that's what they normally do. Scott, hang on, because we didn't even get to any questions from your listeners. Scott Wilkinson is here, online editor for Home Theater Magazine. We'll get a home theater question in a bit. Leo Laporte, you the bet. Tech guy. It's all about touch. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. We'll get back to the phones in a second. But first, I felt bad. I ended up talking about the iPad with Scott Wilkinson. When instead we should be talking about home theater. He is, after all, our home theater guy, the editor, online editor for Home Theater Magazine at hometheater.com. So I said, Scott, stick around. Answer a question from a listener. I'll give you, we got 4 minutes.
Okay, quickly then. Got a question from a reader who has the fortunate distinction of having a very tolerant wife who is said to him, you have carte blanche in the media room. You can do whatever you want.
It's your man cave.
So that's great. My question this week on the site is, do you have carte blanche in your home theater?
No.
I must compromise for the sake of domestic tranquility.
Exactly.
But the question that he asked, other than to make us all jealous of him for having such a forgiving wife, is he was looking for an audio-video receiver that didn't compromise the video running through it. And this is a very important point. Most people think about audio video receivers or AVRs as being an audio component, but the video is running through it too, especially when you're running HDMI products through it, which most people are. So you have to make sure that it, in my opinion, the most important thing to make sure about is that it doesn't degrade the video quality. How can it do that? A couple of ways. One is by clipping above white and below black. Video has a defined level of black and white, which is not the entire dynamic range. Video can actually go outside of those limits. And yet some receivers clip so that nothing above video white gets through and nothing below video black gets through. That, to me, is a mistake. We test for that in all of our AVR reviews, and so I find it very important to look and make sure that it doesn't do that clipping. Another thing that some audio video receivers might do is reduce the resolution, particularly of the color part of the signal. So you want to make sure that the AVR you're getting doesn't do that. And, of course, the best way to do that is to look at our AVR reviews on hometheater.com. Beyond that, if you want a good video processor in the AVR, then, you know, look for that. But there are other places where video processing takes place. It takes place in the Blu-ray player. When you're playing a DVD particularly, it'll upscale. It takes place in the TV or the video display, the projector. So it doesn't have to take place in the AVR. The AVR is just another place that it could happen. So I personally find that to be less important than to make sure that it doesn't do anything bad to the video signal. So I recommended to him. He looked like he was in the mid-range. So I looked at our top picks, and the Onkyo TX-NR 1009 does an excellent job with video. It also has excellent video processing, as does the Pioneer SC57, which is their Pioneer Elite SC57, their flagship AVR. Both of them do fine. They pass the video, no problem.
See, that's what surprises me, that it wouldn't just have a – doesn't it, the HDMI just kind of pass right through? Why would they process it?
You would want that. That's exactly right. You would want that.
Think of it, at least at that part, as a video switcher, not an HDMI switcher, not as a processor.
Right. But in some cases, we have found in our reviews and our testing that they don't. They clip this above white and below black. And they reduce the resolution. They filter the signal because of maybe some unintentional side effect of the circuitry that they use. So we test for that in our video test bench.
HomeTheater.com. That's where you go. Read those reviews. Scott Wilkinson, online editor, thank you for being here. I'm glad we could get a Q&A in, and we got to book some time for you. I'll get you offline, and we'll figure out a time you can come in, and we can do a whole hour. Let's do a whole show.
I'll even come up and sit in your studio with
you. That would be fun. I would love that.
I would too. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Scott. HomeTheater.com for more Scott Wilkinson. Patrick Muncie, Indiana. You're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing today, Leo?
I'm great. Thanks for hanging on.
Good.
What can I do for you?
Got a question. I've got the Samsung Note, the international version.
Me too. First of all, do you like it?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah. This is, a lot of people laugh at me. I don't know if they laugh at you, because it's a 5.3-inch screen. It's a phablet, I call it, a phone and a tablet. And to me, it's exactly the right form factor. Big enough for me to, you know, to take notes, to do Scrabble, to play games, to type, because I have big pudgy fingers, and yet small enough to put in my pocket. That's exactly what I'm looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what my question is I've had it since I got the international version, actually the day before Christmas, and I've had to send it back a couple times and get another one because of some lockups and things like that going on with it. And now I've got another one in white, and I love the white. And I'm just wondering if I should just send it back, and now that I'm still in my time, and go with the ATT version. There are some
differences in the AT&T version. For instance, it uses, instead of the Samsung Exynos processor, they're using a Qualcomm chip. It's clocked faster, but it's, I think, less powerful. But the advantage of getting the AT&T version is it will use AT&T's 4G networks. Are you using an AT&T SIM in your Note?
Yes.
Okay. And you at least get HSPA Plus, which is
correct,
their 3G Plus. That's the big advantage. And so if you live in an area, I don't know if Muncie has AT&T LTE yet.
Yes, they do, and I work in Indy, so they have it too.
So that would be, I think, a compelling reason, especially if you could do it at little or no cost.
Okay.
But there is the one difference that I know of is that it's a little slower.
Okay.
I just love this phone, though. I haven't felt so good about a phone since the iPhone came out. It's just exactly the right size. It's easy for me to type on. It's got a great camera.
And I've always been a big iPhone fan. I just had to go away with it to the bigger screen.
Yeah, me too. And there is a lot of speculation that Apple's going to do something with a 7-inch screen. It maybe would be a bigger iPhone. I don't think so, only because Apple has used fragmentation as a selling point against Android, saying there's too many Android phones, there's too many choices out there. It's confusing for not only customers but for developers who's this is true. When you buy an Android phone, sometimes your apps won't work on that particular model because there's so many different Android phones. I personally think choice trumps that, and I'm glad to have the choice. But Apple has made such a big deal about it, I think they're going to kind of stick with just a few screen sizes and a few products. That's going to make it a little hard for them going forward with that 3.5-inch iPhone. That's starting to look pretty small to a lot of people.
Yeah, I've got the Galaxy S2 international version.
That's nice, too.
And I loved it.
Me too.
And I still use it back and forth. But just when the Note came out with the bigger screen, it was like, oh, my goodness, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, you're like me. I think, Patrick, it's not for everyone. We're kind of iconoclasts. But, boy, the people who like the Note are, like you and me, just love it. We just love it. I don't know why. It's just something that speaks to me. I'm with you. And then, for those of you who want more petite phones, there are plenty of choices there, too. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. As we boogie on down with technology, Teresa is next from Long Beach, California. Hi, Teresa. Leo Laporte.
Hello, Leo. We spoke about 2 years ago, so just a quick comment. You transitioned me from BlackBerry life to Android life, and you also turned me on to Posterous, which I greatly appreciate.
Wonderful. Yeah, so everybody had to transition from BlackBerry over the last year. It's just really kind of disappearing, sad to say. And you like the Android? Are you happy?
I miss a real keyboard.
Yeah. There are Android phones with slide-out keyboards, the Droids and so forth.
Right, but I don't like the horizontal factor. Anyway.
I know what you mean. I was a big fan of I had a BlackBerry Curve was my last BlackBerry. And it was really nice to be able to just hold it with two, thumb type on that thing was great.
One hand.
Yeah.
Yes, But the reason why I'm calling today is I have the new Razer Max.
Oh, all right.
I love it.
Yeah. How's the battery life? That's what they're selling on. That's the Max in there.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
That's one thing we really gave up when we moved from BlackBerries or similar feature phones to these big screen touch smartphones. They have the battery life just goes to nothing.
I can go more than a day.
Hallelujah.
Without having to be
unheard
plugged
of.
In somewhere.
Unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's even with streaming Pandora a couple hours a day.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Good. Well, so, I'm glad they live up to the hype then. That's good.
Yeah. Now, I went out and got myself a 64 gigabyte
SD card.
Micro SD.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to figure out, because it's Android, I should be able to have that as a separate drive and load all my music onto that card. But I don't know
It might be too big. The ones that every phone I know goes up to 32. I didn't even know you could get a 64 micro SD. I think that could be a problem, is that it cannot read that card. It's too big.
Okay. Because then what if I...
In the normal case of events, if it could read the card, you just plug in the USB connector.
Right.
And it should then on the phone say USB connected. Do you want to put me in storage mode? There's a choice on the phone. You'll see a little USB connector, and it'll say it'll tell you what, it'll give you a choice of, do you want to be in storage mode or not? And then when you put it in storage mode, that should mount that drive on your computer. You should actually be able to see it as a USB drive, a USB key, and copy stuff over to it. Now, I've got an easier way that I like, and this is what I use. I really love it. It's called Double Twist.
Okay, I have that.
And then they have, it's not for free, it's a couple of bucks, the AirSync feature. So you have to buy that. And then what happens is when you get within your Wi-Fi network, the phone says, oh, I'm in the Wi-Fi, and starts syncing with your desktop.
Okay. But it sounds like I need to make sure I'm in storage mode, and then with my Double Twist, use AirSync.
No, you don't have to be in storage mode if you're going to use AirSync. But if you're going to use a physical USB cable, what do you want to copy to that USB drive? Just music?
My whole iTunes library.
Yeah, use DoubleTwist.
If it's more than 32 gigabytes.
There's the problem. Well, DoubleTwist will let you make playlists or use iTunes playlists if you have iTunes playlists. And so what I do is I make a phone playlist that's a little smaller than the, you know, I have even more music than 64 gigs, so I'm not going to copy all my music over. But I copy, a good 16, 20 gigs of it.
Okay.
Yeah, and, certainly the first time it'd be a lot faster to use the USB cable. So when you're using the USB cable, you got to make sure, I haven't played with the Macs with doing this, so I'm not sure how they handle it in Motorola's case. But most Android phones, you'll see up at the little notification area a USB icon. Select that, and it'll say, do you want to go into storage mode? And you say yes, and then you'll be able to see the disk. You want to make sure that your music player knows to look on that external SD, and it should work just fine.
You mean that DoubleTwist knows to look for?
Yeah. Is that what you use for your player?
Well, I will, because I have it.
And then get DoubleTwist on the desktop.
Hey, Leo, if that's what you use, that's what I'm going
to
use.
Aren't you nice, Teresa?
I have spent way too much money listening to you the last couple of years.
Oh, I apologize. Another way to do it is Google Music. Google Music will let you upload your entire collection to the cloud, and then with Google Music, you can stream anything from your collection, so you don't even have to store it on your phone. But you have to be connected, and it will use bandwidth. So it's just a different way of slicing it. My personal favorite and what I would recommend is get DoubleTwist both on the phone and the desktop. Use AirSync on the phone, and then that way I just put what I want on the phone in a special phone playlist, and it will automatically synchronize it.
Okay.
Isn't that nice?
All right.
Thanks, Teresa. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Take care.
You have a good one.
You too. She mentioned Posterous, which I love, and I hope that they continue to survive. They've kind of been eclipsed by Tumblr. Both of them are companies that let you do free websites. Tumblr really is huge. I mean, it's just taken off. But Posterous has a unique angle that I think is very useful. It lets you post via email, and then you get a Posterous blog, but you don't have to use it as your blog. Because you can then have it automatically copy data to another service. So when I email, for instance, a video to Posterous, it puts it on my Posterous blog, but it also, they call them spaces now, but it also will send it to YouTube. I mean, I've set it up that way. When I upload a picture, it will put it on the blog, but it will also put it on Flickr. It can also go to my WordPress blog, and I'm getting a Squarespace blog. It will also go there. So there's a lot of I think this is a very interesting service, Posterous. I first started using it heavily when I was in China, and you couldn't post to Facebook or Twitter, but they can't block email, right? So I was just emailing posts, and it would automatically go to my various sites. It's a gateway, in other words, to post to multiple social media sites, says Terry Kay in our chat room. You're right. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. Let's go to next, John in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Isn't that where Dolly Parton came from? Hello, John. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, Dollywood's right down the street.
I love it.
So I'm glad I'm getting to talk to the Grand Poopah. my question is, I was sitting here on the computer when I'm online, okay? My Adobe Flash player comes up, and it'll ask you allow or not allow. That's fine. You click on it, used to go away.
Or does it, well, let me ask you. It does that when you're going somewhere on the web to launch Flash, right? It doesn't do it automatically without you doing anything, right?
Without me doing anything, and I've counted it. It takes me 6 times to get that thing off the screen. So I went to the control panel.
But wait, John, slow down here. It shouldn't be launching automatically at all. It should not be launched. Yeah, so there. Okay, and it asks you for what permission?
Yeah.
What permission?
Allow, you know.
Yeah, allow what?
Well, there's this website that you're going to, you know.
But you were going to a website, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It doesn't do it when you're not going to a website. I'm worried about malware. Okay, good. All right. So you're browsing around and it says, you must have turned on some security that says block flash. Did you put a plug-in on your browser that says block flash?
No, not that I know of.
Do you run security software?
Yeah, I have the Microsoft Essentials, and then I downloaded something old a couple weeks ago. But before I download that, it used to do that. Now,
and what browser do you use? Hold on. Let's talk some more. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Sounds like Flash Gordon.
You're good, Leo.
Is this Queen? Oh, if only Flash really were the savior of the universe instead of destroyer of websites. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And we've got John on the line who's having trouble with Flash. So you're saying as you're using, what version of Internet Explorer are you using, John?
Internet Explorer 8 or 9.
Okay.
But I just now refreshed your page, and I got it on the screen. It said Internet Explorer Security. It says a website wants to open web content using this program on your computer, and it has allow or don't allow. That's what comes up.
And of course, you're seeing it all the time.
Because
every website in the world wants to do this.
Right, and I got to click on it 9 times to close it.
So you've definitely got some sort of security software on there that's being a little bit overzealous. Now, you said this happened before you installed that. What was that security software you installed last week?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I can't remember.
Where'd you get it? How'd you get the urge? Where'd you get the impulse to do that?
Come up online and seemed to me something tied in. Like maybe I saw one time on your program and it worked. It cleaned up my program. I mean my computer, and
Wait a minute. Now let me ask you a question here. So you're surfing around, and it's a beautiful blue sky day, and just enjoying life in Pigeon Forge, and all of a sudden on your computer, something pops up and says, hey, you've got some problems. You better install this software. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And I paid $39 for it just for 1 year, that's all.
I wish I knew the name of it. Because that's a very common way that bad guys get on your system.
Oh, my.
So what they'll do, it'll say something like antivirus 2012. It'll look like a Microsoft pop-up. And and you go to a website, and it'll pop up, and then it has a little counter that says, oh, look at all these bad things on your computer. Brr, you've got 32,000.
And then since I got it, it comes up and scans once in a while. So you got this, you got that, clear it all out. And I click clear out and it takes it off.
That's good. I'm hoping this is a real legitimate thing. I'm just, when you see a pop-up like that and it says, here, give me $39 and we'll put something on there. Don't do it, because almost always that is a bad guy. And several things, if it is a bad guy, several things have just happened to you, John. A, you gave him $39. B, worse than that, you gave him your credit card. C, you allowed him to put some arbitrary software on your system, which is probably malware. So I'm praying that you didn't do that, that in fact this was maybe your computer came with McAfee or Norton, and it had expired, and the Norton said, well, you got to renew it for another year. I'm praying it was that. But I don't think it is. I'm a little worried. But in order to know, I need to know what the name of it is.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there, golly, I'm a little worried now. I just want to make sure that this is something legitimate. Did you give it a credit card number?
Yeah. I mean, this was a couple weeks back.
Please don't do that.
And it said, you want to do it for a couple of years or what? I said, no, just one time.
I'm really hoping, and I think it might be, I'm hoping that this is, when you got your computer, they often come with a trial. How old is a computer?
Oh, no, I've had this since I made the mistake of buying this when Circuit City was going out of business. It's about 3 years ago. It's a Hewlett Packard, and I'm not a Hewlett Packard.
Well, Hewlett Packard does come with trial versions of software. I'm hoping that it had, I think it's McAfee. I'm hoping McAfee was on there and it had expired and it said, would you like to renew? And that would be okay. And that's exactly what McAfee does. And let's hope, is it Norton usually? All right, so maybe it's Norton. But let's hope that's what happened.
No, I don't have any. The only thing I have on there is Microsoft Security Essentials, the free security.
Yeah, that's good. I would look at your – okay, here's a couple of things I do. First of all, see what company billed your credit card number.
Right, okay.
And there is something on your computer that is running that is a security program, I think. That's why you're seeing all those pop-ups.
Yeah, well, it did that before I even did that.
Yeah, and that's not Microsoft Security Essentials. There's something else on there. So I can't – I mean, there's too much going on, John, for me to actually fix this over the radio. But I'm just a little nervous about everything. I'm just a little nervous about everything going on. Do you if you have somebody you trust in Pigeon Forge there, maybe there's a local computer guy or somebody who's just a nice guy, it would be really worth checking it out. Now, here's a couple of things you might want to take a look at. In Internet Explorer – in the internet options there is a security tab and there are security settings. Those should be set for normal users on the default. If you set that to high, you'll get those warnings every time any website tries to do anything, which is extremely annoying. So my suggestion is that you open Internet Explorer, open Internet Options, and make sure your security settings are set to the default. I believe there's a default button on there, so just set it to the default. That's what you want. That should get rid of those pop-ups. I'm a little nervous about what this is you installed. I'm thinking it's probably okay, believe it or not. Despite all evidence to the contrary, I'm thinking it's probably okay. And I'm just trying to think of a way that you could validate it. Certainly look at your credit card statement. See if it, you know, if Symantec owns Norton, you should see a charge on there from Symantec. If you did, then that's what you did. There are ways to scan your system to see if there's other viruses. I'm gonna tell you to do this. Go to antivirus. Actually, go to ESET. ESET has a very good online scanner. ESET. .com. They're an advertiser. Let's give them a little plug. ESET.com. There's on the front page, there's an online scan. Run that. And if you have any malware on there, it will say, hey, whoa, yo, slow down. It'll let you know. If it runs clean, then you're good. Another thing you can do, and by the way, if you do have malware on there, in most cases, the malware will prevent you from doing this. This is a good thing to know. If you get blocked, if it says, I don't see that site, there is no ESET.com. That's a sure sign there's something bad on your system. They don't want you to do this, right? Another thing you can do is, now this is a little more tricky, but Microsoft, if you've been doing your Windows updates, and I trust that you have, has a great little malicious software removal tool on your system. There's another way you can do this. You click Start, Run, and then when you get the little box, you type MRT, Malicious Software Removal Tool. There's no S for some reason, just MRT. And you'll get a window for a program that you've never seen before. Do a thorough scan. If the ESET online scan or the Microsoft Removal Tool scan come up with a clean bill of health, bless your lucky stars, John. All you did was probably upgrade your Norton or your existing antivirus, and that's fine. Then you could breathe a sigh of relief, turn your security settings and your browser down a little bit, and go on with your life. Let's cross your fingers. If otherwise, find a geek. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I got to tell you, Kyle Benham, they're not liking the music right now. At least Nexus is, and he says, who's picking the awful intro songs? That's Kyle Benham, my musical director. But each and every song is a key, is a puzzle, is a challenge. Why did he play this song? What does that apply to? How does it tie back into the show? You see, each song has a meaning because Kyle Benham is that deep. And then at the end of the show, he makes a playlist available on our website, techguylabs.com. The puzzle continues. Techguylabs.com. Let's go to Temecula, California. Frank's listening to our mothership, the great KFI in Los Angeles. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you on behalf of all my other Marine Corps buddies. We listen to you a lot. You help us out a lot because we're not too tech savvy.
That's great. Where are you stationed in Temecula? Where are you stationed?
I'm actually stationed in Miramar, but I'm on leave in Temecula.
Miramar is beautiful. What a beautiful place.
Yeah. I love it.
That's got to be a good posting. Well, thank you on behalf of all of us for your service to our country, Frank. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. My question today for you, Leo, is during one of my little escapades, I had a HP laptop, but the screen broke, so I had to quite literally break off the screen portion of the laptop. And
That's a Marine for you. The screen's not working. He snapped the top right off it.
And I had to screen hop it to a monitor. So effectively, I turned my laptop into a desktop.
Right.
But it's been a little shaky, and I'm looking for a replacement, but I need a good gaming computer, and I'm not sure where to go. A couple of my friends told me Alienware, but I looked that up, and it's really expensive.
Yeah.
And some of my other friends told me, you know, it's just a brand name, like you're paying more for the name.
Your
than
friends
you
are exactly right. In fact, Alienware is owned by Dell, and they're basically Dell computers with some cool paint.
Oh, okay.
So what? One thing you could do, you want a laptop?
A laptop would be preferable.
Right. So what you could do is go to that Alienware site and just note the specs. Because what they do is they do put high-end hardware in there. And, you know, a couple of the things you want for better gaming, of course, is the best possible graphics processing unit. And a GPU in a laptop has some unique needs, you know, the heat dissipation and so forth. You can't put the same kind of power in a laptop that you'd put in a desktop. But you'll note that those Alienwares do use high-end GPUs. Look at the processor, the RAM configuration. That, in effect, is giving you a configuration for a gaming machine. A configuration which you can then go to Dell.com and build yourself for a Dell. Or anywhere and just say, hey, yeah, well, I want this video card, I want this processor and all of that. You won't have the fancy Alienware paint, but you'll have exactly the same hardware. Which means it'll play just as well.
Wow. Okay.
So that'll save you some money. Your friends who say that Alienware is just a brand are right. I mean, there are some nice features of Alienware, and I've had Alienware machines. We get our gaming machines from another great company called Doghouse Systems. They're a little less expensive. They specialize in gaming machines. I don't know. Let me see if Doghouse sells laptops. But in general, when you buy a gaming machine, you're paying more, a lot of it just for the kind of the style. Doghousesystems.com. Let me just see if they have a laptop. I think really all you need to do is just look at the specs and try to duplicate that. They do. Doghouse makes a laptop they call their Mobius series. And you know what? They're not that expensive. So you might look at this because that's actually a pretty good price. Doghousesystems.com. Their basic Mobius system is a little bit lower end, but it starts at $13.95. If you want to spend more and get an i7 in there, which probably would make a difference. What game do you play?
I play a lot of Counter-Strike and Left 4 Dead.
Yeah. Oh, I love Left 4 Dead. If there's ever the zombie apocalypse, we'll be counting on you, Frank.
Oh, I am well prepared. I actually have a lot of my friends and I, we have a zombie plan. You know, always got to have one ready.
All I can say is, hoorah, those zombies are in trouble now. I got the Marines Marines on the case. That's awesome.
We'll roll down in there and we'll grab you.
Awesome. I'll be counting on that, Frank. So what you could do is go to Doghouse Systems, look at this Mobius i7. This is the Mobius ES560. And they have, just like Alienware, they list the specs right there. It's an i7. They've got a 1080p screen, which I do like for, a gaming. 4 gigs of RAM. Let me just see. The real key is on the graphics card. It's a Radeon 6990M. That's their mobile part. This is kind of, this is their $2,000 laptop. I bet you could build it for a little bit less if you went to Dell and spec'd out the same parts. So that's okay. A little trick. And I think this would be a very competent system for Left 4 Dead.
Awesome.
Hey, Frank, I tell you, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. And when the zombies come, I'll be calling.
All right, I'll be sure to go to your website.
Thanks for your service, Frank. You got it. Thanks, Frank.
All right, thank you.
Take
very
care.
Much.
Yeah, we'll put a link in there. I should also mention those good folks. My good friend Ryan Shrout at PC Perspective does have a hardware leaderboard. They don't do laptops. This is a desktop machine. But if you were going to spec out a desktop machine, go to PCPer.com and look at their leaderboard. It's right at the top. You can actually go directly to PCPer.com/HWLB, and they will spec out a desktop machine. And they have four models. They've got a dream system, a high-end system, a mid-range system, and a low-end system based on price. You know, the high-end desktop is still only $1,690, and they'll tell you what processors and so forth. But that's a desktop system. So that's if you're building. If you want a laptop, you can't build your own laptop, right? You just have to figure out what the specs are and then go somewhere like Dell. And I think Dell laptops are very good. And they will let you, spec it out, basically. You start with the laptop that looks right or is closest to what you want. And then you can usually add memory or change processors and so forth so you can get a better system for your gaming. I think the big thing on that Doghouse Mobius is that 1080p screen. Dell offers those too. I would start with the screen that you want, but you customize the one that's closest, and you could probably get fairly close. And I think probably for a little less money. It's going to be the same factory that makes the Alienware. It's just not going to have the paint. Pat, Houston, Texas. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Pat.
How you doing?
I'm well.
Been a while.
Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
I was running ABG virus protection on my system and another product called Adaware. And the Adaware license ran out first, but I've just been putting up with that because I says as soon as
you know,
ABG
just take,
ran out, I was going to install NOD 32.
Exactly. Just take the Adaware off. The reason there used to be separate spyware programs is because the antivirus companies were very careful about not removing spyware. Or adware, because I don't know why. They were nervous about getting sued. Now, all the good antiviruses will clobber spyware just the same. It's all treated as malware, so you don't need a separate anti-spyware.
Okay, so I don't need adware at all.
You don't need it at all.
That's the first thing I want to know.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, what headset are you using now with your phone?
You want Bluetooth or wired?
Bluetooth, please.
All right. Hang on the line. After we come back, I will give you some good Bluetooth recommendations. I have about a dozen of them. Leo Laporte, sure. The tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This is my favorite kind of rush. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We were talking about Bluetooth headphones with Pat in Houston. Is this something that you want to wear in your ear as you walk around, or is this something you want to use while driving? What exactly is the use for it? Because I have a ton of these.
The thing is, I'm the guy that's in the wheelchair that I talked to you years ago, and I have the headset in my ears. I'm rolling around. And right now I'm running a Blue Ant Q1.
Love those.
Which, that's a good headset. It works fine, except I can be going along and I'll say, call Leo Laporte. And it's just as likely to come back to me and say, calling Barack Obama.
I don't think that's the Blue Ant's fault, actually. That's the phone. The phone does the name recognition in the headset. So I think the Q1, boy, it's $18 now. That's really great. This is a very nice headset that hears your commands, which is great. In fact, you can say, what can I say? And it will list all the commands. I can't believe it's gotten so inexpensive.
Is it because I'm running iPhone 3GS?
You know, It's a combination of things. One, of course, the iPhone is getting the information. What happens when you make a call is it launches the iPhone's command system. And then the voice comes from the Blue Ant into the iPhone. So it's two things. It's the quality of the voice coming in, and it may be that, you know, it's a Bluetooth headset, so it's not great quality, and the iPhone's struggling with it. One experiment you could run, Pat, is to not use the headset, but to use the iPhone's voice command and speak to it and see if it's more accurate.
Okay.
If it's more accurate, if you're talking right to the phone instead of... Now, if I were you, I mean, you don't need wireless. You might want to look at earbud. It's going to be the most accurate. It's going to be more comfortable. Of course, the iPhone comes with earbuds, but you can also buy earbuds that are a little bit higher quality that go into the phone and then have a microphone nearer your mouth, so the quality should be better. They'll be less expensive, and they'll be less prone to being lost, and they might be a little more comfortable in your ear, too. The other advantage of using the earbuds, either the ones that came with the iPhone or a third-party version, is when you really want to hear well, and I do this a lot, you could plug the earbuds both sides in, and then all of a sudden you'll really, you know, you'll sear out the sound. It's a little dangerous. Don't do it while you're rolling down the sidewalk, but if you're sitting at home or whatever and you want to hear better, I do that all the time. So, in other words, I'm saying instead of a wireless headset, you might look at a wired headset.
Okay, I'll look at anything. I don't even know where the earbuds are that came with the iPhone.
Yeah, they're long gone, probably.
You know, who makes a good third-party earbud?
Well, it depends how much you want to spend. Now, I use a company called Etymotics, E-T-Y. These are very expensive, they're good quality headphones, too. You ever use headphones to listen to music on your iPhone?
Not really.
Yeah, well, then this might not make sense for you. It's what I use for my headphones as well as for my my speaking. It's the Etymotics. The least expensive, I think, is the MC2, and it's a little bit under $100. They have an HF model that is more expensive, the HF2 that I've also used. And it really sounds good, or the HF3, but they can be as much as $200 for really good headphones. If you don't listen to music, you don't really care about the quality of the headphones. I would say get the MC class from Etymotic. You can buy them online, and you're going to get the best possible sound for you and the best possible microphone for the iPhone, which should improve its recognition.
Okay, I'll try that.
Yeah, and there's many other companies that make these. You can go to an Apple store and see, you know, half a dozen different companies that make basically headphones with a microphone on them. That's all they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And while I've got you, I'll tell you that while the iPad 3 is probably a wonderful thing, I'll just stick with my iPad 1.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with the iPad 1.
I mean, it does everything I want it to do. And of course, when it breaks, I'll get the iPad, whatever it is at that time.
I think that's why Apple dropped the numbers. They basically, I think that's exactly what they're saying, is you just get whatever iPad's current.
Yeah, because right now I worry about the iPad 3, your providers, they helpfully come out with data plans, and new data plans, and those new data plans are to their advantage. And
You bet.
And I ought to know that because I work for AT&T.
Well, you ought to get a deal, Pat.
Well, I do get a deal.
I think AT&T does grandfather you into their old data plan, and they said they're not doing any throttling on iPads. So if you have, and I'm sure you do if you have an iPad 1, that old AT&T unlimited plan, that goes right along with you.
I have that.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
So you
I
would
didn't
keep
know they
the same
throttling on the iPad.
Yeah, they do throttling on the phones, but they have announced they are not throttling iPads. And if you have the old unlimited plan, they don't offer it anymore. But if you have the old unlimited plan for the iPad, you can get, it just goes along with you. You just make sure you get the same plan.
That's a good thing to know because I don't use the phone that much for data, but I use the iPad.
Well, I agree, and I think, you know, especially if you're in a Wi-Fi area, you could use FaceTime or Skype. You wouldn't have to use the phone at all. Make your calls with the iPad. And by the way, these headphones with a microphone work just as well with the iPad as they do with the iPhone. That's one advantage of getting something like this.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure, Pat. Great to talk to you. Yeah, you know, wireless is a great convenience, I guess. But if you don't have a need for wireless, Wired is always going to give you more reliable connection, better quality sound. Of course, you can't drive with two headphones in, but you can drive with one in. And so you put it, I don't particularly like the buds that came with the iPhone, but if you got those, plug one into one ear, the one with the microphone, obviously, and use that. That's almost always going to sound better than Bluetooth. Bluetooth tends to be a little bit thin, to be honest. Andy, Longview, Texas, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Leo. Good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
Hey, I was watching you and trying to file my taxes at the same time, and I've been a TurboTax user for years.
Me too, yeah.
And I think Intuit blew it. Something happens, it hangs up in it, and evidently it has to do with me using Windows 7 and 64-bit. I have a new...
You might try doing it in compatibility mode just to see if it works better in the 32-bit.
Well, I saw someone posted to bring up IE without add-ons.
That might also be the case. Certainly, Internet Explorer, you want to use the 32-bit version, not the 64-bit version. Most plugins will not work with the 64-bit version. Windows 7 comes with it, though. So run Internet Explorer 32 and then see if it works. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. To it, blew it. Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about tech. Yeah, computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, MP3 players, iPads. 888-ASK-LEO, that's the number. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, I'd love to hear from you. 888-827-5536. Justin in Highland, California, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo, I got a question about the new, the Apple TV. First of all, the deal is that we have one of those older, older TV. It doesn't have an HDMI input. It just has the three, yellow, red.
It's called component. And you should not get an Apple TV because it doesn't support that.
Well, I know it doesn't out of the box. I was wondering if there is a connector, what would you call it, adapter, converter, whatever you would call it, to connect one type to the other. The Apple, I called the Apple 800 number, and they said that it's possible. They don't sell them, but they might exist. So I thought I'd see if you knew about any such a thing.
Yeah, the thing is that HDMI is digital.
Right.
Component is not digital. It's high def, but it's analog.
Okay.
So what one thing that you will have trouble with guaranteed is... any content that has HDCP, high-def content protection on it, will not work. So there may be content that you'll play back that just won't work. It'll
Netflix.
Netflix, I think, will work. I'm not sure. But you may say, God, when you see how much it costs to get a converter... you may say, oh, this is not worth it. I mean, it's going to cost more to get a converter from HDMI to component than it is to get an Apple TV. So here's what I'd recommend. Wait till you get a new TV for the Apple TV.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
or get a Roku box. Roku does have component out.
There's no speech output there for me. I'm blind.
Ah. And the Apple TV will support speech?
It's got voiceover, just like the Mac and the iPhone.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How does it? How do you talk to it?
No, not speech. Not like Siri, not speech in.
It reads it to you. I get it. Oh, that's neat. Yeah. I did not know that. So it is accessible.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, no. If that thing had Siri, I'd be even more all over it.
Yeah. Oh, that's intriguing. All right, so let's get now. I'm going to get more serious since I understand that this is why you need an Apple TV. You need voiceover. So what we need is an HDMI to component converter. And I'm sure that Geffen, G-E-F-E-N, and others will sell such things. I'm seeing on Amazon, oh, you know what? They're not that bad. Here's one for $33 from Amazon. Now, I'm going to read the reviews, and the reviews are mixed. One guy says, I can confirm it works with the Apple TV. The HDMI video is being converted into HD analog composite, which is YPBPR, blue, red, green, at 720p. Audio is correctly being converted.
Oh, we don't have the blue or the green. We just have three.
Oh, you don't have component. You have composite. That's even lower quality. That's composite. That's really low quality 480i, but you're blind, so you don't care about that. You're really just listening to the audio, right?
Right. No one else in the house that can see cares about it either. We had to cancel the cable, even if we can't get a replacement. The budget is just, it's just not there every month.
Yeah.
I mean, I can buy something one time, but...
Yeah. No, I know. Cable is outrageous. Let me see. HDMI to composite converter. That should be cheaper, shouldn't it? Yeah, they range anywhere from $42 on Amazon to as much as $125. Let's look at the Amazon one. Do you have S-Video on the TV? Do you have an S-Video connector?
We might. I don't know.
All right. Well, here's one. This is HDMI to composite or S-Video. S-Video would be marginally higher quality. It is $42 from Amazon. Let me just see what the reviews, if there are reviews. Yeah. Connected Apple TV to old TV. This is what they're using. So there you go. Some of the reviews say it actually works. 3!
And then, as far as I can tell, the new hardware, the only difference is that it supports 1080p.
Yeah, you don't care about the new hardware. Yeah. You might. The biggest difference that might matter to you is it has a new A5 chip in it, which means if they're going to make Siri or some sort of voice command, you'll probably in fact, I'm sure you'll have to have the new Apple TV, but they have not announced that, so, you know, who knows if they would do that. If you want to just watch Netflix or iTunes, I don't know what the protected status on iTunes is. It might need HDCP. I don't know. I think that's one of the reasons the Apple TV only has HDMI out. But I'm looking at the reviews, and this $32 or $48 box works with Apple TV to drive an old television with a composite. It works fine.
Okay. And if you have a second, I have a quicker question about the new iPad. I'm thinking about it for somebody else that I know.
He started whispering, so obviously it's somebody in the house. Okay.
No.
Oh, okay.
For me, as far as I'm concerned, it's still iOS. I don't have any need for an iPad. I can do everything on my phone. But it's the bigger screen. And I'm thinking about it for somebody as a replacement for a netbook.
What Apple is doing.
Yes.
Apple decided that netbooks were cheap. Really, netbooks are just a cheap laptop, right? $300 laptop. Apple said, we don't want to make anything junky. And netbooks are inherently junky. Steve Jobs said that. So their response to the netbook was the iPad. And I do think it is exactly, in fact, it's a better, if your choice is that or a netbook, if you can afford to spend the $500 on the iPad, get the iPad.
Yeah, I'm looking at it and it can do everything she wants to do except, and this is a minor thing, but she does play some of those games on the Facebook, but I'm willing to bet, and here's what I'm confirming with you, I know Words with Friends has an app, and so I'm willing to bet that most of those games she enjoys playing on Facebook so much has an iPad app that's integrated with Facebook. I mean, the website games do Flash, so that's not going to work.
But yeah, that's the problem, is those Flash games. She likes Flash games. But there are a lot of similar casual games out there that do work on the iPad. The iPad is a great gaming platform. They're just not, it's not Farmville. You know, it's Wii Rule instead of Farmville.
That's probably the only Facebook game she doesn't play is Farmville.
What's the game she really likes?
I don't know right off the top of my head.
Most of the games have analogs in the outside world. They just won't be playing them with their Facebook friends. And that, you know, that actually is the big part, the big deal there, right?
That's the big part of it,
yeah. Actually, there is Farmville on the iPad. What am I saying? Zynga makes many of its games available for the iPad. So if she's playing a Zynga game, the chances are good that Zynga will make it available on the iPad at some point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
right.
Zombie Lane is on iOS, says XHIP. Apparently, that's a popular one. Hey, great to talk to you, Justin. Okay. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. 8888 Ask Leo's the number. Isn't that a nice gift? You're a nice, I think, boyfriend. That's a nice gift. Interesting issue on converting that video. I want to reiterate that the only reason this makes sense is because he doesn't care about the quality of the video coming out of his Apple TV. What he really wants in the Apple TV is the voiceover that reads the command so he can use it. Because I have to tell you, converting HDMI to composite is going to just really give you a terrible picture. It's just not going to look great. As long as he and everybody in the family don't mind, there are some good choices out there that seem to work with the new Apple TV. I did order the new Apple TV, but it's same price. It's a faster processor, 1080p. Probably not a compelling set of features worth upgrading yet. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'm sure there's a reason Kyle's playing this. I give up.
One of the best zombie movies ever.
Oh, it's a zombie movie. Night of the Living Dead?
Dawn of the Dead, yeah.
Dawn of the Dead. Wow. I don't think even the chat room, which knows everything, did not guess that one. I'm just glad that the Marines have a plan for the zombie apocalypse. That's all I'm saying. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, ask Leo. That's the phone number. We're talking about the new iPad, of course, but anything else on your mind? We were talking about, I wanted to follow up on this, filing your income taxes, because it's getting to be that time. And I mentioned that the IRS is very hot to get people to do that. They, in fact, have an entire page devoted to filing online. It's called Free File. If you just search for online tax filing, you should be able to find it. Everyone, they say, is eligible to file free or to free file. If your AGI is a certain amount and so forth. If your AGI is $57,000 or less, you can use their free file tax software. If it's more than that, then you can use the fillable forms. The reason they want you to e-file your form is because, of course, I didn't know this, but for the last few years, when you submit a tax return or a handwritten tax return to the IRS, they have data entry people keying it in. Of course, that makes sense. They've got computers to review it and everything. That's got to be a huge expense for them to key in how many tax returns, you think? 100 million? Have to be hand-keyed in? So they want everybody to file electronically. It's more accurate. You don't introduce errors that way, and it saves them money and time. And the benefit to you is you'll get your tax refund much more quickly if you e-file. They say within 72 hours after you e-file. That's a huge, huge difference. 3 days later. So, the IRS wants you to do it. Most tax programs, TurboTax, certainly have a built-in electronic filing capability. The IRS and most states have made that much easier to do. If you are using TurboTax on a 64-bit Windows, this is something that comes up a lot. And I have recommended not going to 64-bit Windows unless you have more than 4 gigs of RAM on your machine. There's really not a compelling reason to do it. And it's little niggly things like this that are reasons not to do it. It turns out Internet Explorer 64-bit, which is the default version in the 64-bit version of Windows, right, doesn't support Flash, doesn't support a lot of plugins. Most plugins won't work. But that's why they give you another IE on your 64-bit version of Windows, IE 32. But they don't really let you know that. Microsoft really wants everybody to go 64-bit. This is their way of encouraging developers to go 64-bit. But instead, they're creating pain for us and not really explaining it very well. So if you are trying to do something and you have a 64-bit version of Windows, and by the way, if you buy a new computer, almost guaranteed it's coming with a 64-bit version of Windows. Microsoft's pushing everybody that way. Just know that when you do something online that doesn't work, try the 32-bit version of Internet Explorer, and it will work. And I'm willing to bet this is exactly what's going on with TurboTax. The reason it crashes in IE when you try to do this e-file... They did upgrade Flash. All right. They've upgraded Flash. This is you see how Microsoft does this? They make this change. People go, "Huh, I can't use Flash." And Adobe goes, "Oh, all right. Okay, we'll upgrade Flash." And a few months later, they finally did upgrade Flash. But there are still many plugins that don't work. And I'm betting that's what's going on with TurboTax. So try that IE32. And then it should be okay. That'd be my recommendation. And, visit this e-file site that the IRS has. It looks like they're really making it a lot easier. 8888 Ask Leo. Colin is in Rhode Island. Hello, Colin. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Hi. So the new iPad got announced, huh? I'm really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'd like to buy the 4G model, but honestly, I'm completely turned about going I don't know whether I want to go with AT&T or Verizon for it.
Now, there's a couple of considerations. So if you, first of all, you've determined you do want the 4G version of the iPad.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think, for a lot of people, if you use the iPad anywhere, there's always Wi-Fi, like your home and your office. Yeah, you may not want to spend $129 extra initially and then $20 or more a month every month to use that iPad. Yeah. Here are the reasons you might want to. Of course, if you're not near a Wi-Fi connection point, your iPad still is online. There's another one that maybe people don't realize. There is no GPS in the Wi-Fi-only iPad. The GPS radio and the GPS functionality come with the 4G version. It's the same chipset. So if you want the GPS, now there is location capability based on the Wi-Fi. It's okay, but if you really want GPS, if you're going to, for instance... And I do this all the time. I use my iPad as if I need a nav. I have nav in my Mustang, but if I am in a rental car that doesn't have nav, I never buy the navigation feature from Hertz or Avis. I just use my iPad. It's a bigger screen. It talks to me. I love it, but you need that GPS functionality or you're not going to be able to do it. And you'll need the 4G to download the maps. So there are reasons you might want 4G. It is more expensive up front and month to month. The good news is you can... You can buy it and not activate the 4G till you need it, and it's month to month in the 4G. There's no long term contract unless you buy it subsidized from a carrier. That's a different thing. But if you buy it from Apple, you don't have to activate, and you don't have to. You can get it 1 month and not get it another month. It's easy to turn off and on. So the question that is a very good question: Verizon or AT&T? Both of them. There is no Sprint at the moment. Sprint version. The AT&T, the first question is, do you have LTE where you are?
I know AT&T's LTE network is a lot smaller than Verizon. Yeah. I think in Rhode Island, Verizon's kind of the one who's kind of been jumping the ball a little bit faster than AT&T is. So
yeah, Verizon's in almost 8 times more cities now than AT&T. AT&T's, if you could get it, might be marginally faster. But here is the compelling reason to go with Verizon. If there is no other reason, if you're not in an AT&T LTE spot and there's no Verizon nearby, I don't know if there is such a place. But if there's no other compelling reason, the big reason to go with Verizon, besides the fact that there's LTE in more areas, they're going to offer the mobile hotspot free. They announced this when the iPad announcement happened. AT&T says, no, we're not going to do it, not at this moment. So Verizon's data plans, they will have a 1 gigabyte plan for $20, 2 gigabytes for $30, 5 gigabytes for $50, 10 gigabytes for $80. AT&T, for $15, there's a 250 megabyte a month. That's the least expensive, but it's only 250 megabytes. 3 gigabytes for $30, 5 gigabytes for $50. So they're roughly the same. AT&T might be a little bit cheaper, especially if you're not going to use a lot. But I think if you ever want to use that hotspotting, you're definitely going to want to get Verizon. They're not charging extra for it. That's a good deal. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So I should explain what a hotspot is, since I said that one of the advantages, one of the reasons to get the Verizon iPad is that they're offering the hotspot feature. When Apple made the announcement for the new iPad, no number, by the way, just the new iPad, when they made that announcement, one of the features they mentioned, Tim Cook, the CEO, mentioned, is that it had hotspot capability. This is something some phones offer, including iPhones. You probably heard about the idea of tethering, which is taking a phone with an internet connection and connecting it to your computer via USB and then using the phone's internet connection on the computer. That's called tethering because it requires a wire, a connection. Hotspotting turns the phone or the device into a Wi-Fi access point. So many phones can do this, including the iPhone, if your carrier allows it, and that's the key here. You go into the hotspot area. You say, you give it a name. I would suggest turning on a password using encryption so that people can't just use your phone. You really don't want them to, given the expensive bandwidth on the phone. And then you can, on your computer or another device, it'll show up as a Wi-Fi access point. You'll log into it, and now you're using the device's internet access as internet. So in the case of the iPad, you'll be able to turn this on in the new iPad. The iPad will show up as a Wi-Fi access point, and then you can use your phone, your laptop, another iPad, and log into it. That's kind of a neat feature. Of course, it uses your data plan, and Apple was very clear saying if the carrier allows it. Well, we now know Verizon is going to allow it. AT&T is not. And even better, Verizon's not going to charge extra for it. And a lot of times what happens on a phone, you pay an extra $20 a month for this capability. Why? Well, because they can. But I think it's I think this is Verizon saying, we want you to buy a Verizon iPad. And I think that is a compelling reason. Now, of course, Verizon could, and maybe they will in 6 months, start charging for it. There's no guarantee they won't. And then you've already bought the iPad, so there's no going back. People would be pretty angry if they did it, though. I think that's a compelling reason. So that's what it is. You may not need that feature. Nowadays, the only thing I guess you'd use it for is a laptop, since every phone has 3G, and now your iPad has 4G. Maybe a laptop. But that's good, you know. Your iPad becomes a Wi-Fi access point, and you can use your laptop. It's pretty cool. Sprint charges $30 for hotspotting. $30 a month. Wow. 8888, ask Leo. So to answer your question, Colin, you know, should I get a Verizon or an AT&T iPad? I think I've been pretty encyclopedic in the reasons pro and con. It mostly depends on what kind of connectivity you get in the area you're going to get. If you've got LTE from both, AT&T might be faster, but Verizon's going to offer free hotspotting. Just to finish the answer, I bought a Verizon. Even though we don't have LTE here, I did buy the Verizon. Tim in San Diego, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey there, Leo. I have to say, even though the new iPad was announced this week, the best tech news that I got recently was when you announced that you would like to narrate recorded books, because I think you would be great at it.
Thank you. If I had the time, I'd be doing it. Audible asked me to.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. They wanted me. In fact, I would have loved to have done it. James Watson of Watson and Crick has a new book about DNA, and they asked me, I guess because it's a technical book and they knew I could pronounce the words. but the amount of time required is not inconsiderable.
Yeah, that is true. Well, one thing you never get credit for on the show, people will talk about your technical expertise, but I've never heard anybody mention the ton of great character voices that you do. And I think that's one thing that makes your show a lot of fun.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it's a very nice thing to say. I appreciate that.
Okay, now here's the reason I called.
Now that you've buttered me up, eh?
Yeah, exactly. I am hoping that my wife is going to buy me a new iPad for my birthday. And so this morning I turned on Twit on the Roku and I said, hey, let's watch iPad Today on the Twit Network. And she goes, come on, honey. You know I'm not into these tech shows. I said, no, come on, let's watch this. I think it'll be pretty good. I felt like Ralphie trying to get his mom to buy him a Red Ryder BB gun.
You'll poke your eye out.
Exactly. But I think she got the message. You know, Leo says this is pretty good.
Oh, I hope you... Do you have an iPad at all now, Tim?
No, I've never used one. And that's why I'm calling, because I'm wondering how... I make business videos. And I'm wondering how to transfer video files to the iPad directly from my computer. What I want to do is be able to make presentations to people without the hassle of opening up a laptop. I just want to be able to say, hey, here, you know, just stand very casually and informally and say, here's what I can do for you.
Now, iPad's great for that, especially the new one, because it's going to look so good, and it's so easy to carry around, and it really is a perfect video display device.
Yeah, in fact, I'm excited because I think that I can actually make videos with a higher resolution than 1080p and show it on this, which I've never been able to do.
Oh, that's intriguing. Well, here's the deal. It's just like an iPod. You got videos, music, photos on your iPod by connecting it to your computer and syncing with iTunes. It's exactly the same. So you'll make a video with whatever technique you use. You have to convert it to a format that the iPad supports. Those are more limited than the general video formats that a computer might support. And then import it into your iTunes library. The next time you connect your iPad up, it'll sync up. Now, there videos, I think that's the best way to do it. They have added the ability to sync over Wi-Fi with the iPads and the new iPhones with this iOS 5. But videos are so big. You may never complete, you know. If it's more than a gigabyte, it's probably better just to hook it up.
Well, see, here's my question, because I was reading that the number one item on the wish list for a lot of people was a USB port. And from what I understand, the new one doesn't have it, does it?
No. No. I think a USB port is... I understand why they don't have it. They really want people to think of the iPad as a standalone, doesn't need to connect to anything else. It has a 30-pin connector. You can get a USB port. They sell this. It's called a camera connection kit. It's, I think, $30. It has a 30-pin iPad connector on one end and a USB connector on the other. So you can do it.
Is that what you're showing right there? That's it?
Yeah, if you're watching the video, that's what I'm showing. Now, there's no access to the file system on the iPad, so it's not like you can copy stuff over to a folder. You have to import it in via a program that'll recognize the USB port and get it. So really, the best way to do it is just use that cable that comes with the iPad, connect it to your computer, it's a USB cable, and sync up via iTunes. It's fast, it's easy. That's really the best way. I think you may find, Tim, and this might be a selling point for your wife, that you actually can make these videos with the iPad, edit them on the iPad, never have to use the computer at all.
Okay.
They also make an HDMI adapter, and there is an SD card adapter. So that's another one. I don't happen to have it here that connects up to the 30-pin port. And they say that all these accessories will work with the new iPad. And then on the other end, it has HDMI, which is great. It means you can hook it up to a TV. So if you want to show it to more than one or two people, you hook it up to the TV and play it back from the iPad. And then next to it is an SD card. So that would be another way to do it. You can copy the video to the SD card and then read it from that. A little easier to do it via iTunes. iTunes will make the conversion to a suitable format. It won't copy it if it's not a suitable format. It's just designed for doing what you want to do.
Well, with iTunes, is that, you know, I haven't used Mac since or Apple products.
It works on Windows as well.
Okay, but do you have to have a data plan to use iTunes?
No, iTunes is just a program that runs on your computer that synchronizes. You've never used an iPod, have you, Tim?
No.
It just is a program. It's a music, video, photo library program that will allow you to copy those files onto your iPhone, iPod, or iPad. It synchronizes those files over.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was something that you had to be connected.
You don't pay. It doesn't be connected or anything. It just it does it via a cable. It's fairly fast. It's really the way you're gonna do it most of the time. And I do hope they update iTunes because it's really long in the tooth. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Let me get the Gizwiz on the line.
Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The ha. You never thought the hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight because I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner.
This portion, I don't know what that is. This portion of the Tech Guy Show. It's Big Papa. Biggie. I'm blowing up like. This portion of the Tech Guy Show brought to you by FreshBooks. FreshBooks is an easy-to-use online invoicing service. It'll save you time and get you paid faster. Join over 3 million users and try it for free at FreshBooks.com. You are so brave, Kyle Benham, to play Notorious B.I.G. You knew that there were no bad words in that whole thing? You must know this backwards and forwards. Or did you have your finger hovering over the button?
Well, that is always the safety measure.
It's pretty brave. Play a little hip-hop on the show. Given the FCC's dislike for bad language. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the number. But, you know, don't call me right now, because guess who's on the line right now? Many people don't know it, but Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer, spent many years as the king of rap music, Notorious D.I.C.K. Hey, Dickie D., how are you?
Leo, how you doing?
I am very well.
Yeah, the rap thing, you know, it's been done. I got out of the biz.
I know. Well, yeah. Once everybody started doing it, you know, it's that darn Sugar Hill Gang. They ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So
I decided to do something no one else has ever done. Gadgets.
What is that? Well, it's also your passion. And I think that regardless of how many others do it, there's nobody who does it better than the Gizwiz. You can find out more at giz.wiz.biz. Actually, giz.wiz.biz. That's the website.
Yeah, that works better. That's good.
That would be the actual website as opposed to the fake one I mentioned earlier. And he joins us every week around about this time to let us know about the latest and greatest gadgets. What do you have today?
Well, you know, we're going to talk about a couple of weeks ago on the Weekly Daily Gizwiz, we talked about the Ivy Digit voice responding clock. And this week in the Times, they were talking about a newer version. So I thought, well, I can talk about the newer version, too. Oh. These are voice responding clocks. Years ago, we talked about the iMoshi clock. And strangely, this one looks the same, except this is the IV, and you have to say, IV, tell me the time, IV, date. Every command starts with you saying IV. But the new clock is called the IV Flex. So what the Flex does, IV now has 43 commands, so there could be an intense learning curve.
Could you you demonstrate the IV?
You know what? I cannot find it. I might have put it in a box.
Dick,
junk.
All you have to do is go, "Hey, IV, where are you?" It should come back, right?
It should. No, it's very funny because I looked for it early, but then I thought, you know, it's radio. We're going to zip through this. We probably won't demo it.
Okay. Go ahead and talk. So, then.
Yeah,
a talking clock actually is one of the very few gadgets that kind of works on radio. I hate to say it.
Oh, that's true. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So people like it. I read Amazon reviews of the Digit, and people like it because it's easier to set than playing with knobs. Just say, Ivy, set time, and she'll say, what time do you want? And with me living in Brooklyn, she's always 5 hours away.
She sounds exactly like that, by the way, just in case you were wondering.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah, it's the British part of Brooklyn is what they modeled her voice on. So the Flex now, you have six different sleep sounds instead of three, six different alarm sounds instead of three, a lot more go-to-sleep sounds. But I love the commercial where it says, do you go to sleep like this and you hear alarms and dogs barking and babies crying? Or do you go to sleep like this and you hear the melody coming out of the clock? Aww. Is that melody going to be big enough to cover the baby and the dog?
No, probably
now,
not. Probably
the
not.
One good thing about the new Ivy Flex, it's going to be $70, $20 more than the Ivy Digit. The Ivy Flex has a USB port. And they are saying that they will be constantly adding features.
Oh.
And so you have upgradable software in the Flex. And the thing I always check for you, Leo, is you can dim the display far enough for it to go off.
Oh, that's good. Main
complaints.
Yeah. I don't like lights in the room when I'm trying to sleep.
No.
They really, yeah. I mean, they make a big deal about how they have a natural language processor built in. They have more MIPS than anyone else. I mean, I guess there's other companies doing this kind of thing, but theirs is they're pretty high-end, it sounds like. This is kind of nice. Still, I might still, get this one.
It's still, I'll say 5 a.m. and it'll say, thank you. Your clock is set for 3 a.m.
Oh.
Maybe she knows I should get up earlier. I don't know.
You meant
maybe
it's 2 a.m., didn't you? Yeah. So this is the IVEE is how you spell it. IVEE.
Right. And the Flex. The Flex is the most advanced of the two IV clocks.
They had the Digit and now they have the Flex.
Yeah, the Digit is under $50. The Flex is under $70. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And they're at helloiv.com.
HelloIVEE.
And don't forget tonight,
what?
We set our clocks ahead.
Oh, would Ivy know that automatically?
You know, I think it does.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, that's one nice thing about computers and clocks that are synced to the internet and all of that. That you don't have to remember to set them tonight.
No, that is good.
Yeah, yeah.
That part's good.
Your phone should automatically set. All right, Dick. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on ice. Don't go anywhere.
Okay,
just stop moving. And and when we'll bring the blood temperature back up in a few minutes, and we'll record the weekly daily Giz Whiz with you.
It's painful, but it's worth it.
Oh, suspended animation is always painful. But exactly. What else are you going to do, right? Thank you, Dick. Dickie D. He's at gizwiz.biz, gizwiz.biz. He got one of those coveted .biz addresses. And you can play the What the Heck Is It contest there for a chance to win Mad Magazine. An autographed copy, no less. GIZWIZ.BIZ. Glenn in Baltimore, Maryland. Or should I say Balmer? Hey, Glenn, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
Okay. I was a little concerned when I saw you wearing a jacket on triangulation. I thought, is it really that chilly there?
Well, you know why I was wearing the jacket? It was a little chilly that day, although it's prettier now, is that we were interviewing the guy who made the jacket. It was a Scott E.
Vest. Oh, okay. Yeah. I just hope you weren't under the weather.
No, I'm feeling great. In fact, as you may notice if you watch the video now, I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt because I feel good.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
What can I do for you?
So anyway, I got broadband a few months ago. And I never used to have anything on the USB port until I got that, because it's connected to the router with a Wi-Fi adapter.
Okay.
And not long after that, I started noticing every time I play some kind of audio file or CD or something on the computer, it was giving clicks and pops and dropouts.
Yeah.
And I eventually determined, after I tried eliminating all the software and everything that might be the problem, that it was the USB adapter.
I mean, a computer is a noisy environment. In fact, a lot of times for best sound, people have external sound cards, little USB-connected sound converters that give you better results because the sound card is exposed to a lot of noise in there, and I guess you've added some more noise. You might look at Creative Labs makes one. A lot of them make USB sound cards. They'll probably work better for you. They're not very expensive. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.